series on women, and I've asked for when we finished up here about 4 weeks ago, I said, are there other ladies in the Bible that you want to hear about and you want to learn about? And I didn't know when Mother's Day was for sure, but it happened to work out that Jezebel fell on Mother's Day. I thought, what am I going to do with this? How's this going to come out? And so you heard it in the scripture or in the children's message this morning that this is going to be a sermon about what not to do or what not to be like. That's going to be the message for mothers and for you that have gathered here today. This speaks to all of us about what Christian character should be like, and we're going to learn about what her life is about. Now, we're going to read scripture here in just a little bit, but Jezebel is spoken of often in 1 and 2 Kings and a few other verses in the Old Testament. So we're going to get a little snippet of what she was like here this morning. She's an evil lady, and I don't bring her to glorify her today. She's not here to be glorified because we glorify Jesus Christ. And so, but we do learn from her today in Scripture of what kind of a lady she was. So if you'd turn with me in your pew Bible this morning to 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 31, we're going to start this off with her wedding and who she marries. And King Ahab is the king of Israel, and he is a wicked king, the most wickedest king that Israel's ever had up until this time. And so this is where we're going to pick up this story. And so 16, verse 31. He not only considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, but he also married Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and began to serve Baal and worship him. Now, there's a little bit of sarcasm there if you didn't catch it. And so we'll learn about that this morning as well. Now turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 21. So she's married. Her husband's now the king of Israel, and they're living in this palace somewhere in Israel, and they're ruling the countryside, and this is what takes place. There's a conversation that goes on. Remember, this is just one instance of Jezebel's life, of what she's like. Sometime later, there was an incident involving a vineyard belonging to Naboth, the Jezreelite. The vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahab said to Naboth, "Let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden, since it is close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard, or, if you prefer, I will pay you whatever it's worth." But Naboth replied, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers." So Ahab went home, sullen and angry, because Naboth, the Jezreelite, had said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers." He lay on his bed sulking and refused to eat. His wife Jezebel came in and asked him, "Why are you so sullen? Why won't you eat?" And he answered her, "Because I said to Naboth the Jezreelite, 'Sell me your vineyard, or if you prefer, I will give you another vineyard in its place.' But he said, 'I will not give you my vineyard.'" And Jezebel, his wife, said, "Is this how you act as king over Israel? Get up and eat. Cheer up. I'll get you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, placed his seal on them, and sent them to the elders and nobles who lived in Naboth's city with him. In those letters she wrote, "Proclaim a day of fasting and seat Naboth in a prominent place among the people. But seat two scoundrels opposite him and have them testify that he has cursed both God and the king. Then take him out and stone him to death." So the elders and nobles who lived in Naboth's city did as Jezebel directed in the letters she had written to them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth in a prominent place among the people. Then two scoundrels came and sat opposite him and brought charges against Naboth before the people, saying, "Naboth has cursed both God and the king." So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death. Then they sent word to Jezebel, "Naboth has been stoned and is dead." As soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned to death, she said to Ahab, "Get up and take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, that he refused to sell you. He's no longer alive, but dead." When Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, he got up and went down to take possession of Naboth's vineyard. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your written word today as it speaks to us. Lord, may your Spirit bring it to life and may it teach us in this message today. And Lord, I pray too that these words are your words and never my own. And may you fill me with that same Holy Spirit for those that have gathered here today, that they may learn and grow in their faith. May they be challenged in how they live their life. In Jesus I pray, amen. I have a funny little story for you this morning I'd like to share with you. This is a true story, by the way. There was a woman who called the hospital to find out information about a patient. And this was quite a few years back before HIPAA took effect, so you could actually get information about people when you'd call the hospital. She wanted to know if the patient was doing better, or doing about the same, or doing worse. So the voice on the other end of the line asked, "Would you hold, please? This is a very unusual question." Then a very authoritative voice came on and said, "Are you the lady who's calling about information on one of our patients?" And she said, "Yes. I'd like to know the information about Sarah Finkel in room 302. He said, "Finkel, let me see. Oh, yes. Mrs. Finkel is doing very well. In fact, she had two good meals today, and her blood pressure is stable. And the doctor said if things go well that they'll send her home tomorrow at 12 o'clock. And the woman was excited, and she responded with joy. She said, "That's wonderful. She's going home at 12 o'clock? I'm so happy to hear that. That's wonderful news." And the guy on the other end of the line said, "From your enthusiasm, I take it that you must be one of her relatives." And she responded, "What relatives? I'm Sarah Finkel." She said, "My doctors don't tell me anything." Sometimes Bible characters are the same way, aren't they? We don't know much about them. And so Jezebel is one of those ladies that we don't study very often. We don't know a lot about her. We can assume by reading scripture this morning, you've gathered a pretty good idea of what she's like. But we're going to learn just a little bit more about her this morning and how that pertains to our life. Perhaps the most two infamous people in the Bible, Old Testament that is, would be King Ahab and Jezebel, his wife. So we read this morning the passage that our first introduction to Jezebel, she's not a very good person. You've seen what she did, what she's capable of. She's the daughter of the king of the Sidonians. Sidon is on the northeast coast of the Mediterranean Sea, if you were to go home and look that up this morning. They were a people known for idolatrous practices that Jezebel brought with her to the land of Israel. She took her false gods and her false worship and all her evil ways right with her to King Ahab's house. And these practices would create all kinds of problems for the Israelites as they lived amongst the land. They reigned roughly for 22 years in Israel. So now, who is Jezebel? Her Hebrew name means unexalted. That's what her Hebrew name means. She's the wife of an evil king, Ahab, who reigned in Israel. She's devoted, a very devoted worshiper of the false god Baal. Now, you might see the word Baal often in Scripture, and Baal refers to many false gods in the Old Testament. But let me describe to you what this false god is about. It is a storm god. This god would be preyed upon to bring rains to the fertile soil they could grow their crops. And so you can about imagine what this was like. It also was a fertility god that they worshiped, that they thought brought fertility, not only to their livestock, but to their race and to their people as well. That was a false god that they worshipped. So remember that. If this is a fertility god, and Jezebel is a woman, there are also other things that play into her lifestyle, through her worship of this false god. Listen to the sarcasm in 16 verse 31, when this is put out there in Scripture to us. And it comes right away when I read this to you, so catch it early. So about imagine that they're having this conversation in 1 Kings, and it says, he did not only consider it trivial, so he's ramping it up a little bit, that Ahab committed the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, but he also married Jezebel. How much worse could you get? Is the point that the writer's trying to make. This crazy, insane, wicked woman that you married. How much worse can it get? And her father was named Ethbaal. Now, you might think, now that name is actually given to him after Baal, the worship, the false god, as well. So you know the wickedness of the family that she grew up in and what she was raised like. And the scripture actually says that King Ahab married Jezebel, and that Jezebel twisted and turned his heart towards the false gods. She was that kind of a lady, where she drew Ahab away from the one true God in worship. So this Jezebel, for lack of better words, is a very colorful character. There are other names we could use to describe her, but that wouldn't be very appropriate here this morning. In fact, she ordered a hit per se, an assassination on an innocent man, a good man by the name of Naboth. Naboth owned this vineyard, and Ahab wanted it so he could raise his vegetables and look out his palace window and see the beauty of his crops and the things that were grown there and so on. And he desired this. He coveted this. You can already see the sins flying everywhere, can't you? And he went and asked for it. But he wouldn't give it to him because he said, this is my inheritance. And the good Lord said, do never, never give this up. And so Ahab went and sulked. I can't get what I want. And Jezebel said, I'll take care of that. I'll get what you need. You just take it easy. You go have some food. You enjoy your life. What an evil woman if you really start thinking about this. What she was capable of. And I couldn't read everything that was going on this morning, but if you were to read more in the book of 1 Kings about this Jezebel, she was dead against the ways of God, the one true God in heaven. And she had his prophets, those who spoke on God's behalf, she had them killed whenever they arose, whenever she'd run into them. She'd put out an order to kill those people. Obadiah, who's an Old Testament figure, as well, there's a story about that. There's over 100 prophets that they took throughout the hillsides and they hid them in caves to protect them from Jezebel. She'd order the hits on people. She was also a woman who used her sexual prowess to get what she wanted. You know, she ruled Israel through her husband. She had her way in the land. She was selfish. She was a self-centered woman who truly only cared about herself. And here's our lesson this morning that we need to learn from Jezebel. We should never be like this, according to what Scripture teaches us. And so these character traits that I'm describing this morning, they can play out in our family situation. They can play out in our church lives, in part of committees and groups, family gatherings, issues with maybe you deal with things in your family that are hard and you struggle. And sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you here, we all have a little bit of Jezebel in us that comes out, those emotions and the things we want. And sometimes we do get into those things, don't we? And by the way, guys, if you're thinking that these are just limited to the women because I'm speaking about Jezebel, oh, you're wrong. They play out in men just as well as they do women as we live life together. So let's talk about some of those traits this morning. Some of her characteristics of her life that we need to look at specifically and see if we might fall into these types of situations in our own lives. There are still Jezebels around today. You might be able to pick some out after you hear this message, you might be able to point to some people in your life that, she could be a Jezebel. Or maybe you see things in your life that, I have those Jezebel traits once in a while that I need to become more aware of in my life. Jezebels are tremendously subtle and deceptive. They're smooth. They intend to get what they want at all costs. But their intention is cleverly disguised sometimes. You have no idea that's what they're working towards, but they sure are a nice person. Sometimes Jezebels use flattery, saying what you want to hear to win you over. And they dominate you. Jezebels are the masters of manipulation, especially by guilt. Jezebels might offer you gifts, or they might say certain innuendos, or they might have an undermining influence. And sometimes they discredit others to get their way. You've heard that old saying, they might throw somebody under the bus to get what they want. They might exhibit a false humility or false submission while they feed their own pride and seek to get their way in the things they want from this world. They dominate, they control, they manipulate to gain their own agenda. All of these characteristics undermine God's work in the kingdom because it's not a true heart submission to God. Just selfish pretenses. Here's another example. Jezebels are extremely jealous of anyone they perceive to be a threat or who gets close enough to influence someone they want to control in their lives. How about this? They can emit jealousy into a room where they can play one person against the other. You've all seen that. You've all been there. I know you have because I've been there. I've seen these things. Maybe I've taken part in some of this as well in my own life. Jezebels are divisive, and they send separation and strife into the strongest relationships. And may I remind you that these play out in church. These play out in your families as you gather. Janice, can you advance one slide for me? Mothers and fathers, listen closely. This is something for us to learn this morning. As we look at the culture that's in our world today and the things that are changing so rapidly, I truly believe this is where the family has maybe even become dysfunctional of what we've become. The families of Jezebels are most often out of order. Now, if you're a single mom sitting here today, there's a totally different standard that you are underneath, and it's under the will of God, and God provides in ways that are different from a mother and a father and in the situation that goes on with that. But if you're in a mother-father relationship, a Jezebel might enter into that type of relationship, and there are serious consequences that play out in your children and the lives of your family and so on that you need to be aware of. We call it, and as I did research, you go to the book of Revelation, it talks about the Jezebel spirit that is alive and well in the world today that kind of spews evil throughout our families, destroys them, turns them upside down because of the likeness of how Jezebels can ruin relationships and people and the order of a family. Let me share some of those with you this morning. And it's often that the Jezebel syndrome may come through inheritance from another family member. They've learned it well from somebody. They maybe grew up in a family situation where maybe their mother or their father was a great Jezebel, and they learned, this is how I'm supposed to be as a mother or father in a relationship that is so far from the Word of God, but they know no difference. Whether you know it or not, people, mothers and fathers, You are a lot like your mom and dad, whether you want to admit it or not. Now, that can be good and that can be bad, right? Depending what traits you latch on to and what you're aware of your weaknesses are and stuff and your strengths. And thank goodness we have the grace of God that filters over all of this stuff that I talk about here this morning. So there's a little bit of an education that hopefully you leave here today knowing that, okay, what am I like? Do not go home and tell your wife, you know, you should work on these things, men. You will be in trouble. And vice versa, ladies. Don't point the flaws out of your spouse or your husband or your partner, wherever that is. You need to be able to see yourself in this situation. That's how you change. That's how you grow in the Word of God. Don't look at the person next to you in the pew and think, well, if you would only hear this, right? This is for you this morning. The Jezebel spirit is contagious. Jezebels breed Jezebels. And if you fall into that trap, you need to somehow get out of that. By the prayers and the grace of God, you can. But usually Jezebels, their families are out of order. And when a family is out of order, it gets chaotic. Things don't go right. There are problems that arise. They don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to deal with it. And let me share some things with you that are a result from the chaos. Now, you see how a Jezebel lives, right? They're kind of evil and they're selfish and they want their own agenda accomplished within the family. You might see this as a very strong personality in one of the spouses. They rule over everything. They control everything that goes on in the family situation. When I mentor and work with young couples that are going to be married, they come with a certain set of gifts into that relationship. A mother has certain gifts and a father has certain gifts, and they complement each other. That's how God intended it to be. But sometimes somebody will come into the relationship with such a strong personality that they dominate their spouse on everything that they do. That can be a Jezebel. And I always tell those couples, and I'm going to tell you this morning, you've heard that old saying, well, she wears the pants or he wears the pants in the relationship, meaning that this person has control of the situation. And I always say to them, you both need to wear the pants. You are a team. You work together. You bring the strengths of a father and a mother into the relationship. And if there's anything outside of that, you are flirting with a Jezebel in your family. And a Jezebel will destroy kids. And your kids will carry on the tradition to their kids and your grandkids. And that's the message we get into today. How many of you think we live in an evil world today? That things are messed up, especially in the family, right? We see these things taking place and happening. Let me just share with you a little bit about what's going on in our culture today that has affected us, because the Jezebel syndrome is alive and well today. You look at the book of Revelation, sometimes I pray, Jesus, just come today, because this place is messed up. And this is what happens with kids in Jezebel families, where one will rule the roost and they're missing the gifts of another partner or whatever. You'll see the things that will happen this way. Let me catch up to my notes here this morning. Sons, in those types of relationships, they might go one of two ways. They might be an aggressor, and it might be sexually. Depending on who the Jezebel is in the relationship. Or they might tend to lean more towards the feminine side of life, and they live an alternative lifestyle today that we call homosexuality, because they're not sure who the parent is in the relationship, or they've been hurt by their mother, or they've been hurt by their dad, and they don't know how to decipher that out in the relationship. And their mind gets all messed up, and they live in ways that God never intended for them to live. Girls, young women, in those same types of relationships, they get miscues of who's who in the relationship. Who's the father and who's the mother? And maybe they've been hurt by their dad because he's so strong personality-wise that she's been hurt. And she'd rather live in a lesbian relationship than to be married to a man something like her dad. Why do you think homosexuality is on the rise? Why do you think we hear about more women that enter into a lesbian type of relationship? Because we have Jezebel marriages all over the place today that are far from God. They might claim to be following God and the scriptures and so on, but if they weren't to really truly read the scripture, they are living a lie. And you know that. This is the capability of Jezebel in your family. This is the capability of Jezebel when it enters the church. When you work on committees and with people, how are you acting? Are you the dominant one saying, it's always got to be this way or else? Or are you listening to everybody? And you're working to a common solution of what's best for everyone in the group. Where are you at in that situation? Where's your heart? Fathers, what are you doing out there this morning as you lead your family spiritually? By the way, you are supposed to be the spiritual leader in this home. It talks about how wives are supposed to be submissive, but they're submissive to the point where they come with a loving care. They raise the children. Men, you're not off the hook. You got responsibility there too as you raise your children to lead and guide them and teach them the ways of Jesus Christ. Should have brought a mirror along this morning. Should have had my big mirror. I've done this before. I set it right up here that you can just sit and you can look at yourself and say, how am I doing? When I follow God, where am I at in my relationship with my wife or my husband? Or how am I teaching my children? Or how am I treating my neighbor or the person I go to church with? As I live my life for Jesus. You know, God never intended for us to live in chaos. Some of you choose to live in chaos. I've been there with some of you. I don't want to live in chaos. God says, don't live in chaos. You need to live at peace in the world. I mean, there's enough chaos already. You need to figure out how to live at peace with people. But yet, you need to follow the truth of the Word of God as our authority. Jesus. Have you learned this morning of what not to be? That's the real thing I want you to leave here this morning with. What not to be. And there's some verses that you go to the New Testament, and I went into Galatians, and it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 19 and 21 says this about, don't be this. So here's your little checklist this morning as you look at this morning. The acts of the flesh are obvious, right? That's our sinful nature that we all possess these things. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Idolatry and witchcraft. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are Jezebels and the way they live their lives. Now, I said to you, once in a while, you're always going to have a little Jezebel in you. But God forgives. See it. Recognize it. Become self-aware of how you're living, how you're acting, what you're saying, what you're doing. And you fall into that pit, change course in your life. Ask God for forgiveness when you become that Jezebel. And believe me, if you don't think you're going to have any problems with that from now on, you're wrong. You're going to fall back into that track as you live life. You just go back to God and say, God, forgive me. I'm a Jezebel again. in my life. And if you go home and you read 2 Kings 9, verse 33, Jezebel's life came to an abrupt end. You know, I just told you about they don't inherit the kingdom of heaven. Well, one of the kings in Israel rode up to Jezebel, seen her in the window. Jehu? It's very possible it might have been Jehu that rode up, seen her in the second story window in town, and he said to the guy standing around her, throw her out the window. Second story on the concrete street. And they listened to him. And they pitched her out the window, and you can about imagine her body splattered on the street, and she's eaten by dogs. Jezebel was gone. That's the sinful nature that we need to worry about as people of God, because we want to get to heaven someday. And thank goodness we're followers of Christ, we believe in Jesus, and we have forgiveness. There's a lot of those that don't know who Jesus is, and they live this life of Jezebel. This is what the end's going to look like for them. But here's how you should be. Let me share with you what you should possess, the fruits of the Spirit. These are the things that Jesus in his perfect life possessed. You aren't perfect, but you need to possess these and work on these things in your life. Hear these things this morning. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the things you should possess. You should have in your life. And if you struggle with things, give those things to God. Like the lady who called the hospital to find about herself and how she was doing, when she'd maybe get to go home. May I remind you that there's sometimes in our life, in our walk with God, where we need to call ourselves on the carpet and say, how am I doing? What am I doing wrong in my life? And if you really want to be bold, go ask someone how they see you or perceive you as you live in the community and let them be honest with you. That's stepping out. Mothers and fathers, people of God, be encouraged today as you follow Christ, because truly it's the Word of God who teaches us how to live this life. There is such good instruction there that will get you to heaven, that will fill your life with blessings and grace through the Word of Jesus Christ. Don't leave here today downhearted. Leave here knowing that there is a way out and that you want to never be a Jezebel within your family. Fathers, may you live the same way. And all of God's people said,